This is all in reverence to sexual
assault
awareness month, which is April, happening now. There's also going to be a Denim Day event happening on Friday, and that we'll tell you a little bit more about that. But first, WQL is sponsored in part by the Trombone Shorty Foundation. The Trombone Shorty Foundation represents the Shorty Fest benefit concert Thursday, May 1st at Generations Hall. The festival will feature three stages of live music with headliners Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue, the Soul Rebels, and more. Proceeds benefit the Trombone Shorty Foundation, and more information can be found online at tromboneshortyfoundation.org. So in our last little minute, we were just going to try to bring this issue home a little bit, give you some information about domestic violence, sexual assault, molestation in Louisiana.
So we are going to read some statistics and maybe hopefully provide a little bit of analysis around them so that they're not just numbers thrown around without really trying to focus on the bodies that those numbers are affecting and maybe the flaws in those numbers as well. So just to show where we're at, in 2007, it was reported that Louisiana was ranked first in the nation in female homicides. First in the nation in female homicides. So that's about 2.53 per 100,000 women, nearly double the national average. Now, this is 2007. I'm sure we haven't really climbed out of that yet to have better numbers, even though, I mean, like Andrea Smith was just saying, I'm one that would definitely be like, can we eradicate this? So being first, being last, it would be great if the statistics were so that the numbers of people that this affected were so minuscule that statistics were kind of irrelevant. But also, just to show something, we're in the top five, because who knows what the numbers are now, but we'll say we're at least in the top five, because in 2005, I believe the number said we were three, so I'm sure we're floating around there. But in doing some research for today's show, there wasn't a lot of information on New Orleans or Louisiana there is work being done out there. There definitely is people that are combating this. But for us to have such high numbers, not nearly enough work is done. Not nearly enough information is out there.
Yeah, the organization that I sort of hit on was this place called Sexual Trauma Awareness and Response, which is an organization based out of Baton Rouge. And I was really impressed by their message, which I felt was, more than anything else, to just get the word out there that sexual trauma is very common. It's very prevalent. It's happening near you right now. And they're based out of Baton Rouge, but it does sort of beg the question, or it's the hope that we can continue to raise this kind of awareness through organizations that are in New Orleans as well. And one thing that's coming up on this Friday is something called Denim Day, which is meant to be a way for, it's a global day to support and raise awareness about sexual violence in a community. And the idea is to wear jeans, because in 1999, the Italian Supreme Court overturned a rape conviction because the victim was wearing jeans.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Just think about the so many levels of ways in which violence against women occurs. Because not only was this woman traumatized, victimized, brutalized. I don't know the specifics necessarily of her case, but that's a very violent act, period, to be to have sexual assault against her. And then think about the ripple effect throughout the community for other women that would report their sexual assaults when they hear, oh, she was wearing jeans and they overturned her rape conviction. Why would I put myself through that? It was hard enough just getting raped, right? And now I'm going to be put on trial instead of, not that I'm definitely not, of course, I want us to move outside of the police state. And I'm glad that Andrea Smith talked about that, because all the police really do is bring more violence. But it shows why people wouldn't come forward. It's why women wouldn't come forward, because judged on those kind of terms. And then we know that I was reading somewhere as we were looking up that it said 50% of cases go unreported, more than 50%. So when we look at these statistical analysis, it certainly is incomplete because most people do not come forward. So there's a lot of shame, especially tied to men who have been victims of who've been victimized by sexual assault or incest or abuse. So what did they say the numbers are for women? 1 in 6?
They said 1 in 4 for women and 1 in 6 for men. That was something I got from Star. Like 1 in 6 men had been sexually assaulted in some way before they turn 18. Mm-hmm. And 1 in 4 for women.
Now, I wonder if they double those numbers. You know, like if they take into account for that 50% that go unreported.
Yeah.
One thing, you know, I do my own statistical analysis in my life. And here's something that I know. I know many people growing up. I've always known people who have been affected by this. However, I don't know anybody who has ever reported it to the police. Mm-hmm. So that's my own statistical significance.
Yeah.
My own survey.
For sure. And I mean, I think there's many levels of that as well, because I think many people in their own mind aren't able to really admit what happened, admit the effect that it's had on them, mm-hmm. you know, really process it within themselves, let alone make it a public thing, talk about it with their friends or family. You know, like I think there's such a level of shame and silence that gets piled on top of these kinds of things. And I really feel like that's the biggest tragedy. I mean, something I'm always interested in is to what extent people that commit these crimes have been abused themselves. And the statistics have shown that if you are sexually abused or traumatized, you aren't necessarily going to commit crimes against other people. I think the rate is something like 10% or 5%. But if you are someone who has committed incest or sexual abuse, especially with children, the rates on that change. There's a lot of different types of statistics, but anywhere from 50 to 70% of those people were abused themselves. So to really, you know, open up our concept of who the enemies are, and I was just telling Gahiji, and I think it's really true, like, it's like Hitler is the most evil person and number two is pedophiles. And this kind of like vehemence, it's not to say that, you know, these people should be loved or, I mean,
well,
it's not to say that what they do is not wrong. Of course it is wrong. And their victims are traumatized for life and it's really horrible, but it's also to just expand our concept of, you know, how we understand these crimes and how we approach them. I just think the conversation needs to start.
Right. Well, I mean, it's because of our preoccupation with punishment instead of like healing and, you know, radically transforming the ways in which we interact with each other. As a prison industrial complex abolitionist, you know, I'm always asked about what do you do with rapists and murderers and stuff like that. And my answer is I don't have to know that, because that's something for the community to determine together. Now, we can say that we've done that, but we actually haven't, because many people were not at the table when these systems were being built. In fact, they were being built to suppress, repress, to control, to dominate, to keep, to economically exploit specific bodies. That's why these systems were put into place. So what I tell people, though, is I don't necessarily have to know what it looks like, even though I could totally draw you a map because I have a lot of vision. But I say what it doesn't look like. And what it doesn't look like is caging people, isolating them, removing them from, you know, things like sunshine and healthy food. Like, people do not, just because an act has been committed does not mean that people forfeit their right to humanity. And we shouldn't look at it that way. And also, what would be more powerful in society? Throwing people away, locking them up, putting them in isolation, or healing them, healing the person that they did harm to, you know, simultaneously. Nobody gets left behind here. We really look at how these things affect us as community, whatever our community is that is addressing this issue. And then that person that then was a perpetuator of that harm, who, by the way, as Kizia was talking about, most likely had plenty of harm done against them, but they've never had any of that addressed. So now that they're acting out some of that trauma that they've experienced, they are completely perpetrator. They've lost all of their humanity. Nobody cares about them. They are a monster for all intensive purposes. So if that person then becomes part of the healing process and helps people move along to healing, like what would be more transformative to society? What would actually keep people safe? Throwing people in cages where they're not actually getting any kind of real help?
Or... Yeah. I mean, and demonizing them to the extent that if somebody's just harboring a small little thing of a thought, you know, they can spend their whole life hating themselves or feeling confused on a, you know what I mean? Like, there's just such a tight, like, wrap around this particular issue. And I just feel like, you know, I just pray that we can open it up and, like, let people come more into the light. And that was another thing I really was impressed by with the STAR organization. They had this event called Shine a Light, and it was a creative performance kind of space for people to just express their stories, you know, and be open about their process. And I just really believe in that, in the power of that. So, you know, not trying to disturb anyone, you know, we're not really trying to take sides. We're just trying to open up, you know, the way of seeing it, that it's not so black and white. There are these evil people out there, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that we're creating space for people to show up with their trauma so it's not something hidden or silenced or something that we need to just like walk off or get over or whatever ridiculous things people tell people after they've been sexually assaulted. And we also need to, I mean, we held an event on Monday in response to sexual assault in the Black community. And one thing that I do think might be helpful is if we do talk about this, I think we need to talk about it together, but I think we also need to talk about it in segregated spaces as well, and segregated by men and women, not necessarily by race, but there are things that specific, I think that men need to be in rooms with other men addressing issues of just even plain old masculinity. And we can't say things like men don't rape. And that's, you know, just putting it, that's like saying, say no to drugs. That's like what that's saying, because society doesn't, that's not what the messages that society are putting out there. Society is very much telling men that women are your objects. Still, even in this day and age, if you look, go to the grocery store and look at some magazine covers, look at the way the advertising is. Look at things like Game of Thrones, the way that they normalize. What are they calling it now? Pre-consensual rape. And so don't be blind to these things. We need to actually point these things out and not just say stuff like, tell men not to rape. Because to ignore the fact that they are getting raped and sexually assaulted as well. And who knows what the real numbers are. I'm not going to even say that they're probably close to women's, but they're definitely higher. There are a lot more men walking around with sexualized trauma than we acknowledge. And so we just really need to be open, honest. And one thing that I'm trying to definitely do these days is just bring my authentic self into as many spaces as possible. And that is bringing everything that you come with. So we should allow people to show up with that. And yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable, but what's the alternative?
It's already uncomfortable. Exactly.
So we need to move along, though. But we just really wanted to bring some more perspective, because this is such a large issue. It's not a women's issue. It's a human issue. And we all need to do our part in eradicating sexual assault, sexual violence by the state, by individuals, by everyone.
You're not alone.
So the calendar.
Okay, so today is Wednesday. There is a Bratz on the Radio WTL fundraiser today from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So if you like Dat Dog, go to Dat Dog. And when you go there, order the 91.5 Furter. It's a special dog, and it will sponsor us, WTL New Orleans. It's got alligator sausage, andouille sauce, kraut cheese, like us, and Creole mustard. And you can even donate extra money to the station. So go over to Dad Dog tonight. There's going to be good music, and you can make some money for our station. Always Lounge at 10 o'clock, Big Lamoy plus Blind Texas Marlin. Chicky Wawa at 8 o'clock, Grayson Capps, Gary Hudson, and Corky Hughes. 10 o'clock, Arsene DeLay and Matt Clark. Circle Bar at 10 o'clock is Little War Twins with Paper Bison plus Gretna. Gossa Gossa at 8 o'clock has Papa Molly plus Pigeon Town. Wednesdays at Lafayette Square at 5 o'clock has Teresa Anderson plus Paul Sanchez and the Rolling Road Show. Maple Leaf Bar at 8 o'clock has Hook, Line, and Dine featuring Frogs and Friends, plus Alvin Youngblood, Hearts, Muscle Theory, and Papa Molly. Snug Harbor at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock is Silfeo Marsalis and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra. Siberia at 9 o'clock has Violent Reaction, The Flex, Wishful Thinking, and Mystic Inane. Pacific Theater at 8 o'clock has The Bowery presenting RuPaul's Drag Race, Battle of the Seasons. Howling Wolf at 9 o'clock, Livingstone plus Strange Rue plus Nolan's Johnny's, and 9 o'clock Dick Dale plus High plus The Unnaturals. And the Britannia Theater is playing I Confess and the Grand Budapest Hotel. Call 891-2787 for showtimes. And now we'll bring you Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez.
Tell them who they're listening to.
WTOL New Orleans, 91.5 FM. This is your news and views program. I'm Kezia here with Gahiji. Check us out at WTOL News.